So if we can reduce or manage the stress in our lives, actually it's managing a reaction to it, we can allow the body to boost its natural immune system where it can work more effectively. That can be extremely powerful for anybody that is dealing with possibly a suppressed immune system because of an autoimmune.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and as always, it's my absolute honor and privilege to be with you here today on another brand new episode. Oh my gosh, I meet the most amazing people doing the Autoimmune Hour. We're closing in on the fifth year. Can you believe it? Oh my God, I can't. We're closing in also on 250 episodes. It's just amazing to me how the community continues to grow and thrive and flourish. So thank you for being here. And tonight I have a very fascinating guest that I met. He's the leader of the band, the leader of the team here of the Total Health Summit. It's a telesummit coming up on starting Thursday, October 10th. I typically don't do ones that are so quick and timely because I know the show is evergreen. And we're going to talk about Keith's expertise as a master yoga and meditation and mindfulness instructor is the format for the show. But I just wanted to throw out there that Keith is the spearhead of this amazing Total Health Summit coming up on October 10th. And we'll share more about how to find out more about that in just a few minutes. Let me introduce Keith Engelhardt. He's a master yoga, meditation, and mindfulness instructor and has several decades committing to helping people reduce stress and reverse the impact of stress on their lives. He's a member of the American Institute of Stress and has been teaching Hatha yoga and meditation for over 30 years in the Dayton, Ohio area. I could go on and on. He has an amazing bio, but I just want to be able to tap his knowledge for the entire time we have together. So welcome, Keith.
I'm pleased to be here, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, yes. Now, people are always saying things like, I can't meditate. I want to tap into what got you into yoga, meditation, and mindfulness like 30 years ago when not to sound awful, but was considered sort of woo-woo.
Absolutely. In fact, as a personal practice, it dates back over 40 years. In the mid-70s, a roommate I had at the time asked me whether I wanted to go attend a yoga class at the local YMCA. And I usually would explore most any free exercise program at least once to check them out. And I got hooked the first class.
What hooked you?
I didn't realize how much stress I carried around on an unconscious basis until I had the release in just that one class. It was so powerful. So I continued as a student for about 3 years, had an opportunity to take my teacher's training with an affiliate through the Kripala Yoga Ashram in Pennsylvania, and have been teaching ever since. And then more recently, it's been about 5 years now, I came across a lot of research that's bubbling up out of neuroscience and in the National Institutes of Health. And what was once considered woo-woo has been validated by neuroscience. So there's very specific breath work, movements and mantra, and all the tools that are in the science of yoga that we can monitor with brain and body scans and validate their effectiveness. So there's simple breath work, for example, that can flatline your stress response areas of the brain. You can see it on brain scans. So I launched a company back in December of 2016 to kind of promote the what I have branded as neuro yoga. It's a blend of neuroscience and yoga, and using evidence-based research showing exactly what methodologies help reduce our stress and eliminate it.
Oh, wow. And there is a lot of research showing that stress is a major component. They haven't quite said that it causes autoimmune, but it's definitely a major component in weakening our immune system and creating the flares. Oftentimes are a lot worse when we're under stress. And then there's nothing like a chronic health diagnosis to create stress, right?
Add more stress to it, yeah.
So if you were not already dealing with stress, then all of a sudden you get a diagnosis, oh my gosh. So let's talk about a few ways that you have discovered that people with some sort of long-term condition can integrate yoga, meditation, and mindfulness. I know they're all three distinctions. So maybe let's first talk about the three different distinctions because they're not the same thing.
Before I do, I'm going to circle back to your reference to the immune system and stress. One of the questions I always ask in my beginner classes, it's composite of two, but how many people have occasional or regular colds or flus or headaches? And the majority of the class will raise their hand. The second question I ask is, how many of you did notice that I did not raise my hand? Because I've not had a cold or flu or whatever in the 40 some years that I've been practicing yoga. And the reason for it is stress does suppress our immune system. So if we can reduce or manage the stress in our lives, actually it's managing a reaction to it, we can allow the body to boost its natural immune system where it can work more effectively. That can be extremely powerful for anybody that is dealing with possibly a suppressed immune system because of an autoimmune disorder. Most disease, if you look at the word dis-ease, is because something's out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And in our modern society, what's out of balance is all the craziness of go, 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 do, do, do. I kid people because we do, do, do until we're in deep doo-doo. Until the body breaks down and has consequences. And we're finding significant research suggesting that even major health problems of heart disease, diabetes, are stress-related.
Well, I think a lot of things, not just, if we're saying not just physical health, but even our ability to react emotionally, our ability to maintain some sense of spirituality and connection. It's, to me, it's stress is not just attacking the physical level. It seems to cause a disruption in all the fields.
Right. And the goal is not to eliminate the stress, because challenge and stressors are a normal part of life. In fact, there are positive stresses, what are considered eustresses, the stress of planning for a vacation or a wedding or whatever. We consider those positive events, but the body still, you know, has a reaction to them. So it's our mindset and how we react to stress that, and how we can control our physiology so that we don't have the fight or flight response and all the neurochemical changes that occur with acute stress. So your question about yoga, mindfulness, and meditation, yoga translated from Sanskrit means yoke or union. It's a union between body, mind, and spirit. It's an exact science of understanding your inner engineering. That's one of my favorite quotes from a yogi that I follow. So that we can have control of our biology and not allow it to be triggered by outside circumstances or stress. So it combines breath work, movement, mudra, which is usually finger gestures or touch points on the body, and mantra, which is a phrase or something that we repeat to change the focus of the mind to the present moment and what we're doing instead of the chronic chatter that tends to go in our head. The very first phrase in the Yoga Sutras say, this here is yoga. And then it goes on to explain that the goal of yoga, all the movement, breath work, all that kind of stuff, is to stop the mind chatter. In Sanskrit, that means chitta, or whirlwind mind, because even back then they knew that the mind gets pretty busy fretting about this and that and all sorts of things. In fact, it's what differentiates us from the animal kingdom. we are mammals and animals too, but as far as we know, most animals can't think about the past and worry about, you know, something that's already gone, or anticipate and worry about something in the future. And our bodies don't care whether we're challenged by something in present moment in front of us, or whether we're ruminating about something in the past or something in the future. The stress response can be triggered just the same.
Amazing to me how the body and the unconscious mind has no concept of time.
Absolutely.
Something from our childhood can trigger us now.
Absolutely. And it doesn't know the difference between something tangentially in front of me or the mental image of what I might be creating in my mind's eye, which can benefit us. Because if we, in sports, for example, they use visualization of shooting hoops and basketballs because they know the unconscious mind can't tell the difference. And it's just as effective as rehearsing and shooting the hoops physically. When you combine the two, your performance is even better.
Yeah, that surprises me. And one of the things that I always think about when I talk about the unconscious mind has no concept of time is I was a somewhat small child back when I first saw Wizard of Oz. And I don't know, 6, 8, something like that, when I was first allowed to view it, something like that. And even just talking about it now, I feel my stress response changing because the flying monkeys terrified me. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about them now, I still have that same gut visceral reaction to the concept of flying monkeys.
That when you were 5 or 6, that was pretty scary stuff.
And here I am much older than that now and still have the same gut response. It just surprises me how we can hold on to these things that until you think about them aren't really there, but they're still there.
Yeah, those neural patterns, especially if there's any form of trauma or acute stress around, those triggers do stay ingrained in the brain. The good news is that's reversible because there's techniques that you can use. The brain is neuroplastic. What we focus on and repeat, it will rewire itself to a new thought pattern or out of stress patterns, even as acute as PTSD. So circling back to 3, yoga, mindfulness, and meditation. Meditation, there's a little bit of myth around what it is. People think that it's totally eliminating thoughts from your mind and totally quieting your mind. That's not achievable. We now know through modern neuroscience that we have anywhere from 50,000 to 90,000 thoughts a day. So the whole idea of trying to stop that is a little bit like stepping out on the 405 and California and trying to stop traffic. It's not going to end well.
Right.
So the goal is not to stop the mind. It's the nature of the mind to chatter. The goal is to change the focus. So shifting away from my thoughts or just acknowledging thinking. That's one of my favorite insights from Pema Chodron, is if the brain gets going, is just observe it and say thinking and go back to what's in the present in front of you, or focusing on the breath, something that will change the focus. And it's that small shift, when repeated, will literally rewire the brain out of stress patterns. Mindfulness is a very specific type of meditation. It's about nurturing and nudging the mind to be present and mindful for whatever the experience is, what's in front of you here now in the moment, even the positive and negative ones. It's our judgment around events that kind of characterize it that way. And the reality is there are things in life that can be traumatic. You know, going through an acute weather situation or some natural disaster is going to be traumatic. But if we're 20 years from now ruminating about it, you know, the mind's not serving us very well. There's an old saying from the Buddhist tradition that the mind is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master.
Oh, I love that. That's a great quote.
Yeah, it's a wonderful quote. So if it's ruminating and churning up stress, it's a poor master. So the simplicity of meditation is, doesn't matter what technique, transcendental meditation, Raja yoga or any type of meditation, the basic principle is to change the focus for the mind. You can focus on a flickering candle. You can focus on your breath. You can focus on a repeated phrase that you do out loud over and over again, or in your mind's ear, so to speak, internally. but it's all about changing the focus. And the research shows that it doesn't have to be for hours and hours and hours on end. The simple act of doing it for a few moments a day will, over time with repetition, since our brains get good at what they repeat, it will change our stress patterns. Tip for your audience, and I share it with my beginning classes, is try and tie that behavioral shift to something that you experience throughout the day. And most everybody, unless they take mass transit like a subway or train to work, whether you're in a bus or in a car, you're going to experience stopping at stoplights. Use that as a trigger to stop, focus on the breath for the period of time that you're sitting at the stoplight. Sometimes it's a minute, it can be as up to 5 minutes. Those are 1 minute or 5 minute opportunities to change the focus of the mind, and the repetition of that, who knows how many times during the day, at least dozens or more times a day, will over time rewire the brain to have that skill of being present in the moment and stress-free.
And you know what I love about the practice? I haven't been doing it as long as you, nor as deep as you, but what surprises me constantly about it is how fast our body and mind adapt to it. And that ability to focus has come in so important in my corporate work, because I do a lot of public speaking, and I don't know about the audience how many of them know about public speaking, but there are times when you can feel like, oh, the energy just changed, something just happened, what just happened. And I will do even 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds of some of my focus practice and bring me away from that moment of stress, like, uh-oh, something just changed, and bring me back to the present moment, so I'm able to quickly rechannel what was happening over there to a new focus. And that part was unexpected and quite joyful, that I could put it into practice for just a matter of moments and refocus myself instead of letting myself run down that unproductive track of, uh-oh, I just lost the audience somehow. What, oh my gosh, and begin to panic.
It is very powerful. And as simple as it sounds, the breath is the most powerful stress management tool we have, and it's validated by neuroscience. There's research by Judson Brewer out of MIT that it's a mindfulness technique of just focusing on the breath and be mindful of the breath, but not just being aware of the breath and thinking about it. If you wire the brain up, there's an area of the brain called the default mode network and the post-cingulate cortex. It's the self-referential area of the brain that gets caught up in that negativity loop and self-criticism and worrying about, things we don't have any control of. If we watch that while we're thinking, it's busy, 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 busy. And then if you focus on the breath with curiosity to the point of being in the experience, observing and being curious about the air flowing in through the nostrils, how it warms as it goes through the nasal passages, down into the lungs, the experience, the belly rising, the chest rising, as many nuances as you can get curious about that physical experience, those areas of the brain will literally flatline.
And in this case, flatline is a good thing.
Yeah, in this case, flatline is a good thing. You can see them, the centers completely quiet down and stop. Yeah. And as you repeat that, just like the more times we pedal the bicycle and anything that we learn through repetition, the brain gets familiar with that and it becomes a neural pattern that is able to us. We're going to have our days, even me after 40 some years of meditating, I can get triggered by things, but I have the awareness and more importantly, I have the somatic and introspective awareness of what my biology is doing, that I can catch myself in the moment and shift out of it.
That's what's so amazing to me. In my body language, nonverbal communication work, a lot of people say, oh, what's the number one thing I need to know about body language, Sharon? How can I influence other people? All these sorts of questions. I said, manage your breathing. And they all look so disappointed. It's like, what? Yeah, it's that simple, guys. Manage your breathing. You can really influence yourself, your own self, and the world around you by managing your breathing. And so we're going to take the next minute or so to just concentrate or play with our breathing while we take this quick commercial break. And we'll come back, all of us refreshed and with plenty of oxygen in our brain, to learn more from Keith about yoga, meditation, and mindfulness. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Keith Engelhardt, and he is a master yoga, meditation, and mindfulness instructor with over 30 years in the Ohio area, teaching everything from how to center ourselves to, and he's, what I love about Keith is it's not just a teacher of yoga and gives us the sort of the physical details, but everything he talks about is grounded in research. He really, that's one of his things he loves to do, is find out the why this works. And he's been sharing with us some of that with us. And Keith, I know we were talking about breathing before we took that quick commercial break. What are your final thoughts about the power of breathing?
Okay, in addition to what I mentioned about flatlining the stress centers of the brain, the breath is also the simplest way we can stimulate our vagal nervous system. Quick introduction to that. We sort of have a gas and a brake pedal system in our biology. The sympathetic nervous system is the gas pedal. It's what ramps us up, especially when we're in those fight or flee situations. And the parasympathetic nervous system is the brake. When it's being utilized, the body's in a rest and renewal and replenish state. It goes through that oscillation of that constantly. In fact, our breath, as we breathe in, we're stimulating our gas pedal or sympathetic nervous system. As we're exhaling, we're putting on the brake or stimulating the vagal and parasympathetic nervous system. And it's constantly going through that. When the breath becomes shallow, we're putting the foot on the gas pedal. And that's what happens when we get triggered by stress. So by slowing the breath, deepening the inhalations and exhalations, and even changing the ratio, take a longer exhalation than we do inhalation, we can spend more time in that rest and renewal phase of the body. And we now know that it's binary. We're in either one or the other. And the reason that's important when we're stressed and don't spend enough time in the rest and renewal phase of the body, in the replenishing phase of the body, that's where disease manifests. Think about diabetes. If I'm constantly triggering adrenaline over and over and over, being overstressed, that's going to eventually tax the adrenal system, and I'm not going to be able to produce insulin because the body's, you know, constantly ramped up like that. So we're finding that even diabetes can be reversible if we learn how to manage our stress. Certainly dietary changes are part of that as well, but it's the breath is an extremely powerful tool and technique. Another tip that I'll throw out for your audience that can leverage that vagal stimulation even further, in yoga it's called the in late terms a bumblebee breath because it sounds a little bit like a bumblebee. If you put your index fingers in your ear and your thumbs on your chin, there's a little bit of dip in your chin, take a deep breath in and hum with the exhalation. That vibration further stimulates the vagal nervous system, and it can be very quieting and calming. They use this in preschool to engage the kids and calm them down. They love it. They'll run around humming like bumblebees until you have to, you know, steer them in a new direction. But that's a very simple, powerful yoga breath technique that anybody can utilize. Now, when you're sitting and doing that at the traffic light, people might look at you cross-eyed a little bit. But there's a wonderful philosophy from Terry Cole Whitaker, and that is, what other people think of me is none of my business. Take advantage of that stress reduction and rewiring of the brain that occurs, because that can be another stressor, is worrying about what other people think of you. Because you're never going to please everybody in the world. So,
although I want to, I always say, do that like in the restroom before the important board meeting, not at the board meeting. Okay.
Yeah. There's certain social situations where you maybe want to keep things private.
Yeah.
The point being is, utilize simple techniques like that and repeat them often, and you'd be surprised how much stress reduction it can, provide.
Now, I want to circle back because I think it fits in here. I wrote it down as you were talking about it, because you clarified the difference of stress and then managing our reaction to it is what I wrote down. I really like that differentiation. It's not so much that you can possibly border or fence off all stress from your life. Can you talk a little bit more? I love this bumblebee technique. Other things about this idea of, it's not about locking stress out. It's about managing ourselves in reaction to it.
A very powerful tool that you can do to kind of shift the mindset, because we do have reactions to events in life. Usually they're learned in childhood, because from age 0 to about 7, we learn things primarily unconsciously just by observing our surroundings and behaviors of adults and everybody around us. Our cognitive centers really aren't even online till after age 7. Most of us, even in adult life, have reactive patterns that we inherited or learned from families of origin.
Well, you said most. So, I'm going to say, I think, 99.9 maybe?
Yeah, there's a few 1% enlightened people out there, but probably most of us. So becoming aware of what your triggers are can go a long way, and then choosing not to get pulled into it. So a good way to detach from that is ask the question, is this something I truly have control over?
That's a good question.
If you have control over it, you don't have a problem, because you have control over it. If you don't have control of it, you don't have a problem, because there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. That's where I use my mantra, which is not my circus, not my clown.
Yeah, exactly right. And the one I love is in our culture, and unfortunately, a lot of women are nurtured into where they have to be caretakers and be responsible. Everything is. I have this one kind of branded in my frontal lobes as, I'm not required to set myself on fire to keep other people warm.
Oh, wow. I've not heard that one, Keith. Say that one again. I like that one.
I'm not required to set myself on fire to keep other people warm.
I love that.
That I have boundaries of self-care, that I don't have to get in a frenzy about somebody else's catastrophe or drama in life, or poor planning for that matter.
Which is often the case. I remember from raising children that oftentimes you could have chaos over just a lost Lego. I mean, it was like, now that is not, you know, it would feel like a monumental thing to the person with the lost Lego, but bringing the entire family to drama over it is not the issue.
Yeah, and then that's actually an appropriate response for small children, because their self-regulatory areas of the brain aren't online until age 7 or 8. And interesting enough, don't mature till age 25. It's why insurance companies have higher rates for, you know, young adults, because they don't always make rational decisions. And in some cases, those frontal lobes don't even mature further till later in life. All depends on the individual and their upbringing and so forth.
Although I might ask the question, I could think if someone popped into my mind, if maybe they never mature.
that sometimes the case too. But so to expect a small child, they're very tied to their emotions. If something feels upsetting or whatever, they're going to vocalize and respond to it. Now there's, you know, probably appropriate places to do that. When you're sitting in a restaurant with the family, maybe not so much, but that actually can cause a lot of stress in both sides of the relationship. If an adult is expecting a child to behave like adult, they're not.
Right.
You know, they're still developing and evolving.
Yeah.
And Pema Chodron's got a wonderful insight when it comes to those reactions to the outside world. And that is everything, whether it's positive or negative, is part of my path to awakening.
What a nice reframe. Sometimes I think that might take a deep breath.
So when I set back, okay, what? Take a deep breath. And then, okay, why is this triggering me? Why am I having the reaction? What's the lesson to be learned? Because we will repeat them until we learn.
I know I shared with you in one of our chats before, Keith, was this idea of, when I find those triggers, I'm intellectually curious to always know, like, where'd that come from? What's going on? And oftentimes I'll be at a family gathering and look over at some family member more senior than I am. Now I know where I learned that. That makes it a nice way for me to get rid of the trigger.
As a small child, we observe that, oh, that's how you get attention or you know, respond to things. Yeah. And sometimes the reactions are to get attention. There's a term for it in psychology, secondary gain.
Yeah, secondary gain. Oh my gosh. You know, one thing I see in autoimmune, and I think in some respects, if we're truly honest, we have to think about it regardless of whether we're actually interacting with it, that we have to think about, is there a secondary gain for me having this illness? There might be. It has to be looked at. And sometimes it's hard to look that deep into oneself to understand what secondary gain is. And one of the things that I like to explain it as, I had a friend one time tell me that the nice thing about having her back injury was she doesn't have to vacuum the living room anymore. Now, she said it as a joke, but there was an element of truth in that. Where I kind of went, oh, then that really came to light in my mind about this idea of, gosh, are these little minute secondary gains that could be playing into our ability to continue to optimize our health every day?
And if we are curious about those and explore with compassion, that we're not, you know, judging ourselves or beating ourselves up about it, because bottom line is everybody's doing the best they can. And the best they know how to survive. And sometimes we learn ineffective or unhealthy survival mechanisms from families of origin or society in general. So we don't have to beat ourselves up about them, but we can, you know, explore other healthier choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And this idea of just intellectual curiosity, I call it. And as you said, we're not beating ourselves up about it. It's just like, I put it in my, isn't that interesting file until I can figure it out or sort it out. Just looking for those patterns. And one of the things that you and I have talked about before too is journaling and how that helps us come up with patterns of behavior.
Yeah. Get the churning thoughts, the chitta out of your mind onto paper, because you don't have to carry it. And then more importantly, you can start seeing patterns that you might want to change or patterns of growth. Oh, geez, I'm not doing that as much anymore or any longer. And if we do want to have change in our life and go in a different direction, don't set the goals very high. Shrink the change. If we make small incremental things, even when with weight loss, we now know that if you try and say, okay, I'm going to lose some quantity of weight by the end of the month, you'll actually gain weight. But if you just say, okay, I'm going to do one healthy choice each day toward reducing my weight, your progress will be greater. The brain loves successes and rewards. So if we make the step that we choose to do small and achievable, we get the little dopamine hits that motivate us further down the path that we want to pursue.
Oh, that's so true. I just call it optimizing my health every day and making one choice to optimize my health every day. But even from that mindset of what's my one choice to optimize my health today, I noticed that just planting that seed, it becomes multiple choices throughout the day, which is fascinating to me. It's not like, okay, I did it before breakfast, so I'm done making good choices. It's interesting that I'm choosing one choice to really focus on, but it sets the framework to continue to make good, healthy choices throughout the rest of the day. That's fascinating to me.
And the other thing that tends to kind of surface is procrastination.
Yes.
Because we now know our brains hate change. It likes a pattern and a familiar pattern. It'll stay with it even if it's causing us, you know, harm or is uncomfortable. So Mel Robbins, a wonderful motivational speaker, has an insight that she calls the 5-second rule. And that is, if you have a thought to do something new or different or change, do it within 5 seconds, because otherwise your brain will talk you out of it. So
conveniently forget it.
Exactly. She shares it with her own personal story about the one time in her life where she was going through depression and just wouldn't get out of bed. And then she just started this, what she called a NASA countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then I got to jump out of the bed. And that was how she got out of that mental state where she moved on. So she started applying it to everything. And it's very effective. Keep in mind that the motivation and willpower we now know through science is something that gets depleted. So if you have a mechanism like that, that everybody can remember, nope, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. it can go a long way for achieving success on any change that we want in life.
And I say celebrate those changes and successes, whether it's as simple as high-fiving or patting yourself on the back or a little fist bump. Yes. Yeah. Celebrate any success. Oftentimes we'll say, well, I'm going to celebrate when I lose 50 pounds or I'm going to do this or that. And it's so far down the road that I've had people come to me after getting a goal that they had. And then they say something like, I thought it would be different. It's almost a letdown, you know, once they finally reach this monumental goal, instead of celebrating and having joyous time throughout the journey, they get there and they're like,
Yeah.
Wow. It's not quite like I thought it would look.
It's the journey that's important. And I don't even like to use the word goals anymore. because goals can set us up for disappointment. If we don't achieve what that goal is, it's like, we get a little flat or disappointed. If I look at it, this is the outcome I want. Okay. If I got 90% of the outcome that I wanted, like, who wouldn't celebrate?
Yes, absolutely. This is the outcome I want.
Goal tends to trick the mind into thinking that it has to be 100%. It doesn't. If we shift it, okay, move it toward an outcome. And am I moving toward the outcome? It's the process that's important. And that it's that dance with life rather than, you know, where we end up on the dance floor that's more rewarding and more important.
Yeah. I want to circle back to one thing that you said that was important for, I think, people to understand, because it can be quite frustrating in all areas of life. And I always say people will change. They just resist being changed. And that to me is, we can make up our mind to change. I mean, we've all had opportunities where we've chosen a different way of being in the world, doing in the world. And yet if somebody is pushing you to change, it becomes so much harder. So instead, reframe the way that we encourage people. It's not about shame and blame. It's not about making us feel bad. Sometimes in medical situations, they'll sort of like look at you, why aren't you exercising, or why aren't you doing this? And you know, there were times at the height of the autoimmune condition for myself, I could barely walk across the room. So the last thing I had on mind was exercising in the way that they were talking about. So unless we walked in somebody's shoes, let's support them in the change instead of forcing people into change.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two things that I see are necessary for that process. If we come from a judgment perspective or are dictating what the person should do, the brain has this ability of cognitive dissonance, and it'll just resist, you know, it just will push back. So if we offer, like you said, supportive environments or encouragement, or just model.
Yep, just model is awesome.
What we want. Just model it. And having the support there. In order to be the best me, there has to be a we. We are social creatures. We seem to have forgotten that in modern times. Older days, we had tribes and this whole support system for us. And especially in the United States, we tend to have this myth of pathological individualism, that we is an important factor for our success, that we have the support, connection with others to be successful at anything.
My gosh. You know what, Keith? We blew right past our commercial break. We need to hop onto it now before we blow through it completely. So we'll contemplate on who we can support in our community to create greater rapport and connection for all of us. And we'll be right back in a minute or so.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing. So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Keith Engelhart. He is a master yoga, meditation, and mindfulness instructor. And for decades, he has served his community to understand how to reduce stress and reverse the impact of stress on our lives. And he's been sharing with us many great tips and techniques for all of that. And now, Keith, as I said, we blew past that quick commercial break. So we're down to the last 9 minutes, believe it or not. It just flies when you and I chat. I don't know why that is. But share with us any of your final thoughts, and then we'll get into sharing more about the Total Health Summit.
Well, since your focus for your audience is autoimmune disorders or dealing with that mindset's going to be crucial for any replenishment of health. One of my favorite stories is it's a classic research case where a gentleman was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. He really got pretty bummed out and depressed, especially when you're told you like have months to live. And a few weeks after that knowledge, he got a phone call, and they said, well, we don't know if it'll be successful or not, but there's this trial drug, and we don't know whether you're going to be in the placebo group or the actual receiving of the drug, but would you like to participate in the research study? And I got a few options. He signed up for it. And within 6 months, the cancer was gone.
Wow.
He went on with his life. And at the end of the year, at the end of the study, they called him and said, well, we've got some bad news for you on two fronts. One is the drug wasn't effective at all. And the second one was you weren't in the group that was taking the medication. You were in the placebo group. Well, within several months, he died of the same cancer that had disappeared that they couldn't find any trace of. The mind is that powerful. Our mindset controls our biology, not only down to the cellular level, but down to the genetic level, and it can switch on or off particular genes. So even though we might have a genetic bias or potential for an illness, doesn't mean it'll manifest. We now know that most what was characterized as genetic-based diseases aren't a sentence to that you're going to manifest the disease. What controls the activations of those genes is our environment. Not only our outside environment, but our inner environment. What kind of toxic soup am I creating when I'm reacting to stress and challenges in life? The more balanced and relaxed that we can go through life with a flow and grace and equanimity, the more our bodies have this tremendous healing potential to even reverse diseases that were once considered, uncurable.
Wow, that's amazing. And I totally agree that mindset is critically important, in that mindset that this too shall pass, and getting through that process is still incredibly important for me. And I think often overlooked or minimized into the power of the mind. Now, I want to jump on that as being someone that was interviewed by you for the Total Health Summit. I'm so excited about all the amazing people that you've been able to gather for it. Let's share a little bit. First off, where can we find the Total Health Summit?
Well, you can find it at totalhealth-summit.com. So Total Health, all one word, -summit.com. And the doors sort of open on October 10th. That's when everybody will have access to all the awesome recordings and speaker content. You can sign up now. In fact, additional value added. There's a community for support tying into that, you know, we to be the best me. So you can network and connect with others that maybe aren't on the same journey when it comes to health and wellness, as well as the speakers.
Now, you have 20 plus speakers. What are some of the topics you'll be covering?
Everything from what we've been kind of focusing on today, stress and stress reduction. There's a naturopath physician speaking in there. There's a gentleman out of Ottawa, Canada, where his expertise is our circadian rhythms and our bodies, the way we grew up in nature, so to speak, even in industrial times, we're still tied to nature as far as our biological clock. And a lot of our health is because we don't have knowledge of those biological clocks. We kind of go to the wee hours in the morning and use artificial light and everything else. And all that impacts us right down to our mitochondria and cellular level. So he goes off and has some daily tips that you can do. Promote your health from that perspective. A number of people on mindset. Dr. Jeff Morgans talks about positive psychology and how we can leverage that to health. So just a very eclectic mix of presenters. You can find them all listed in the speaker section of the site.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Total Health Summit. Everyone, it's Total Health Summit. .com. Now, Keith, tell us about the neuro yoga zone before we have to.
Okay. That's one of my websites that promotes the blend of neuroscience and yoga. It's neuroyoga.zone. So you can get to experience your neuro yoga zone. For the introverts in the population, about 50% of them, I have a site that supports them in especially. So it's called the Amazing Introvert Zone. Yeah, because we are amazing. There's some awesome introverts. Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page, Richard Berenson.
Myself.
goes on and on that are introverts, and our society doesn't necessarily support them. So for resources there, visit the Amazing Introvert Zone. And then my parent company that provides wellness solutions or individual organizations is sawwatchsolutions.com. So lots of resources for people. And all these you can find in my bio on the Total Health Summit site. So,
well, fantastic. And everyone, they'll be up there on understandingautoimmune.com as well. And so that's Keith Engelhart, and he is a master yoga meditation and mindfulness instructor. And his amazing bio and the video and or the audio, depending if you're watching this video now or doing the audio, will also be there at understandingautoimmune.com. So join us over there. As well as be sure and join the Courage Club, our wonderful community of people who are there to help just be part of your cheering squad as you continue to optimize your health every day. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Take a moment now to find a comfy spot. Wiggle about every nook and cranny to make sure you're comfortable in this spot. Shake out your fingers and wiggle your toes while you take some nice deep breaths and extend the exhale. Let it go with a sigh. That's right. Continuing to release any leftover little stressors of the day with a nice extended exhale. Coming to a place of complete comfort and relaxation. Letting go of all drama. That's right. Just whisking it away. No longer needed. Doesn't have a place here. That's right. Just whisk it away. That's right. Oh, let it go with a sigh. Just enjoying this place of solitude. Savor the colors and the textures and the patterns and just the quiet and comfort. On each extended exhale, notice how it feels to be without drama. Just lovely, that's right. Open and spacious without drama. Knowing that you can take the same feeling of open and spacious, no drama, no need for drama. Right now, back into the real world. That's right. Integrate this feeling of no drama, of relaxation, open and spaciousness. And take it back into the present moment, right now, alert and aware that you can call on this feeling at any time and carry it with you at all times. Welcome back.